Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. There are organizations that do great work to heal the physical wounds of combat. But what about the invisible wounds like post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury? Today, we're talking to a co-founder of an organization that uses warrior-to-warrior intervention to care for those invisible wounds. Stay with us as we find out why sometimes the best person to heal a combat veteran is someone who has also walked in their boots.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and their families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. I say it every week. I'm going to say it again. We love them too. Today, we're going to talk about healing invisible wounds. And I'm excited to welcome to the co-founder and president and CEO of Warrior's Journey and a veteran of the United States Air Force, Kevin Weaver. Welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be with you. It's an honor to be on the show today.
Well, usually I try not to say Army because I'm an Army guy, so it's hard for me to say Air Force, but I'm going to go ahead and fall into that category. Hey, look, and I see on your wall back there, you have some sons that are in the military, so I love that. You know, that's yep. Good stuff. Okay.
And hey, they picked the Army. They picked the Army over the Air Force, so hey.
Well, you're a great father, and they make great decisions. So I'm sure you pushed them that way, maybe.
Actually, I kind of questioned it, and I said, really? And they said, well, Dad, we want to be in the military, you know? So.
Hey, we got a lot to talk about. You're going to make me laugh. They'll throw me off the show. We got a lot to talk about. Before we get started, how about just tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So, you know, I was very, very privileged. I went to college for a couple of years after high school, but really felt the calling and the desire to serve. It was back in the early 80s, you know, Vietnam was over, the military, you know, Ronald Reagan was just elected as president. And, you know, there was that feel. And so I joined the Air Force, enlisted, and really had a fabulous time, ended up being at U.S. Southern Command my whole tour. I actually did two full tours there. It was a two-year thing, and I extended another 2 years. And so I spent all 4 years of my Air Force active duty existence in U.S. Southern Command, working as security forces, as well as helping with the Office of Special Investigations and some of the things that were happening during that time period. It was really a joy. I loved it. It was fantastic.
You know, I worked in CENTCOM at the time. Oh, I worked in CENTCOM for a while, so I used to talk to the guys down there anyway. Hey, what made you... you know, start the warrior's journey. I mean, why?
Yeah, you know, so I remember in my own experience, you know, it was very formative for me. You know, I was, you know, my early 20s, but, and there were very unique challenges to the military that I didn't necessarily anticipate. But I was able to navigate those challenges fairly well. You know, there are always struggles you work through, but the camaraderie of it and the mission, being a part of something bigger than yourself, there were so many things that I drew from my military experience that were powerful. And then when I transitioned out, I had a very clear understanding of what my next mission was. You know, my next mission was really, I felt a call to be involved in ministry. And then I pastored for over 32 years. I went to seminary after I got out, and it was just a really cool experience. But I noticed that a lot of my buddies, a lot of my friends, and then after 9/11, watching what happened through the GWAT, that a lot of the guys that served, you know, wow, just consistent things, including my nephew, who was in the Marine Corps, was in Fallujah in 04, and then went back in 06 as a Marine sniper, came back, and through a series of conversations with him, that was the impetus, really watching what he had to work through. And the fact that he called on me, he basically said, hey, listen, I don't know who else to trust. I don't know who to talk to, but I think I can talk to you. And I'm like, great, let's talk. And I didn't really do a lot of talking. I did a lot of listening and just watched him process. And when I saw this peer-to-peer experience where he felt like he could just put everything on the table, you know, and just really get it out there and process what he had gone through. He lost a lot of buddies. They had some pretty severe casualty counts in his particular unit there in the Marine Corps from he was in the 2-1, and they were, like I said, in Fallujah, and even in his second tour, lost his company commander. And so just a lot of, you know, I think some survival guilt, some PTSD issues, some moral injury issues. And so all of that, watching him just talk about it and the cathartic thing that happened to him through processing that in a trusted environment was really awesome. And it launched him. He would tell me, man, thanks for that talk, because it was great. It really helped. It changed a lot of stuff. And I'm like, I just did a lot of listening, right? Yeah, but it gave him an environment. So that's when I discovered, what if we created an environment like this for multiple levels, all military branches, all experiences? It hit me that a peer-to-peer opportunity to just process could really help a lot of individuals. And then that launched what we call our Warrior to Warrior program. And it has been going now 10 years, and we've engaged with over 37,000 individuals and their family members to help them process through what we call invisible wounds. And it's been pretty amazing.
Well, you know, it's great. First of all, it's great that you're doing that. But, and I understand about talk to another veteran, because they understand exactly how you feel. And the thing about listening, sometimes they just got to get it off their chest. And even if you just nod their head, I hate the fact that there's so many, but there's been, I think 2001, there's been more than 125,000 veterans take their life by suicide. And the problem is, I think that we're taught to sort of keep things to ourselves and not talk about it, either as a man or a woman or a soldier or an officer, a non-commissioned officer, whatever, but we keep it to ourselves. We don't, you know, sort of tell people a story. And I tell this all the time. I went through, after coming out of Vietnam a lot of years ago, I went through about 2 or 3 years of really struggle a little bit, anger issues and all sorts of stuff. I just was in a bad place. And I don't know what I really today. I'm not sure what turned me around, but I want to think it was more I started talking about how I felt. Mm-hmm. And I think that was therapy for me. So it really helped. I think it helps a lot of veterans out for sure. And what are some of the things that you deal with most often? I guess there are probably a lot of things you deal with most often.
Well, we did research with the Pentagon back in 2014 because we didn't want to guess on this. PTSD was the big buzzword, and PTSD is very real. It is, you know, obviously it is post-traumatic stress is something that all human beings deal with at some level, but of course the military experience, and especially those who have served downrange or in combat situations or even in high stress situations, you know, that's exacerbated by those experiences. So for us, you know, what we wanted to find out was, well, we know that it's not just that. There's complexities to these invisible wounds. And so we did research. The Pentagon really helped us with this, gave us access to do an amazing survey. Harvard School of Business, they assimilated the data for us. And we were able to get about a 50% return rate on our survey that we did across all branches, which made it an empirical study through Harvard, which was fantastic. We gave that back to the Department of Defense, War Department. I gotta get that right.
Whatever you want to call it. There you go.
Yeah. And we gave that back. But through that, we found that there were 12 top 12 unique challenges, and post-traumatic stress out of severity ranked number 10 out of 12. We were shocked by that. And so there were 9 other issues that were actually as important or more important that people deal with. Number 1 issue, isolation. Number 2, family brokenness issues. You know, the way that families go through stress, and sometimes they don't feel the support to how to maintain family cohesiveness through military experiences. Identity issues, moral injury was in the top 5, a big one, you know, about how does my moral compass and how do I, you know, the things that I know I have to do, ask to do, must do in my mission, how do I adjust that with the values in my own heart, you know, that, you know, no matter what your religious background or whatever that might look like, but what, it, you know, how do I reconcile that? So we were like, okay, this is great. So we tackled every one of those issues. We gathered testimonials. We've got experts involved in writing different articles and getting video testimonies. We now have a website with over 7,000 points of engagement on those top issues where they can explore initially by themselves. Because like you say, most guys don't necessarily want to go, oh, I've got an issue. So we thought if our website could be interactive, they could explore these issues. And then on every page in our website, there's a Let's Talk button. And when they're ready to talk, they can click on that And within just a few minutes, we'll get them connected to a Warrior Connector. And then that Warrior Connector isn't just like, oh, here, I'm here for you, call me whenever. No, that Warrior Connector is like, hey, let's talk about what's comfortable. I'd like to call you every day. Let's talk. You tell me how you'd like to connect. We can triage their situation. And then we offer a myriad of services in addition to that Warrior Connection relationship. That's just the beginning, really. We find out, discover what is it that they need, and we're going to try to meet that need 110% to make sure that they have a path that leads them to a path of thriving, not just surviving or managing these issues. How do they find healing? How do they find hope? How do they find new direction? And of course, we can't do that alone. You know, one of our core values is strategic partnership. So we have over 80 partners, other organizations that we partner with. Like, we don't provide equine therapy. We don't provide inpatient mental health or addiction recovery. Or these are all the kind of these things that come out of this, right? Sure, you start discovering that these guys have these issues. So we're like, okay, let's find a solution for that. And so we've got partners now that we've vetted that are just excellent at their lane, right? And we can place them, and we do that at our cost, not at their cost. We make sure that it costs them nothing to find these services. So it's been pretty fabulous.
Yeah. Here's something I'd like you to think about anyway, is I can't believe PTSD or PTS, whatever they're going to call it, was number 10. But the thing about it is, and I've been thinking about this a lot here the last maybe a couple of years, is why don't we talk more about what you're going to go through when you go to war? Why don't we talk about those anger issues or the isolation or all the rest of the stuff he was talking about?
Yes.
But before you ever go to work, because what we're really doing is we're putting a Band-Aid on the problems after it occurs. And it seems to me that if we would just talk about it a little bit more about what you may go through, it may help you on the other side. Because I tell you, I said it a few minutes ago there, but for about 2 or 3 years, I was really in a bad place. I either could have hurt myself or somebody else. And you'll do things that you don't know you're doing.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't even know how I got out of that place, to tell you the truth, like I said. But the funny thing about it is let's stop, band-aid it on the end. Let's start talking about what you could go through before you go there. And then the last thing, we got to take a quick break. The last thing I want to tell you is that, I've seen things, and I'm sure your sons tell you too, and maybe they won't talk about it, I don't know, but I've seen things that most people I'll never see. And that's really just sort of screwed me up a little bit. And you really know what's there, you see it, and all you can do is put it on a shelf and hope you don't look at it no more.
Right.
But the problem is it's there. Even me now, on certain occasions, I'll say certain words and I'll sort of tear up, because I don't know what's going on there. I just try to sing to something. And it's, I don't know, mm-hmm. I just, we got to do more about it. I mean, we talk about it and we do a lot of stuff, and people invest a lot of money and time into it to doing the right things. But let's start. It's like education. I'm talking about? We start 1, 2, 3, 4. We go through the grades, go to college, or whatever we want to do. Well, let's start talking to our veterans and family members about the impact of war and what's going to happen. So I just think that's so important. Great. Yeah, I think it's a good idea, but I don't know if anybody will ever do it.
Well, maybe after the break, I'll talk to you. We actually tackled that whole issue as a relation.
Did
as it relates, because we have preventative services and intervention services. And I'd love, maybe after the break, we can talk about how we've tried to and continue to try to address that.
Absolutely. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hear more about what you just said, but I want to hear more about how the Warrior Series works. So stay right there. I know you're not going anywhere. You're a good soldier. Airman.
Thank you.
This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack Gill, Tilly 12 Sergeant Major of the Army. And if you're enjoying this discussion, I know that you are, because we're talking about taking care of our veterans. We're talking about the kind of struggles they go through each and every day. You're not alone. I tell people that all the time. You're not by yourself. You need to stay with us. You need to work with us. You need to talk to us. And the only way you can do that is please like us, subscribe so we can get all together. Click on that subscribe button below and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after word from my presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Kevin Weaver, the co-founder and president and CEO of The Warrior's Journey. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing here on behalf of our veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning on getting rid of or some property you don't want and don't have no plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support the work we're doing here at the American Freedom Foundation. Kevin, we was talking a minute ago about a program that you had. Before we get anything else, would you talk a little bit more about that program, about the process of maybe educating people a little bit earlier, I guess?
Yeah, you know, that whole idea of prevention. So early on, we felt like there are two major worlds where we want to live. If we can do anything to prevent the crisis, let's do that. Like you said, let's talk about how we can do that. So early on, we worked to gain our government contracting license, you know, so that the Department of War would call on us and they would say, hey, we've got units that are deploying. We have basic training folks. We've got folks that are, you know, that are going through training cycles, or we have units. We want to open up the door for them to, at the grassroots level, units to call you, whether Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, and across the board. So they call on us and we do resiliency workshops. We've done toxic leadership type workshops. We talked about areas of how to develop good environments on sustainable resiliency. And so all of that has been great. So we have so many things that we developed to do on a preventative side so that right before folks deploy, we even have pre-deployment workshops and post-deployment workshops when they come home, you know, how to reintegrate, how to prepare for that, what you're going to experience, and then how to reintegrate. And so we've just had wonderful opportunities. We do about 100 of those per year across the nation and sometimes even overseas. We have a resiliency center that we run in Germany just outside of Ramstein Air Base. And so we do a lot of engagements that way. And so that leads to those relationships and ongoing support systems, you know, within our system that really help out. And then after the fact, if somehow, some way that either we didn't have access to that or the crisis comes, we do intervention services as well to include suicide prevention. You mentioned that number 122. It's actually the last VA number that came out in 2023 was 168,000 individuals have completed suicide.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that number growing. It's insane.
It's just crazy. And we hear so much of that. But we have a very robust 24/7 suicide engagement program, and we've had over 4,300 direct suicide interventions since 2016, and we have a 99% success rate on that. It's been amazing.
Do you get any feedback from those classes you give people
and say, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, and so you structure your classes based on their feedback and stuff. Yeah.
After action reports, brother. All after action.
Yeah, I love it. You got to get some feedback there. That's what
you mean, every time. Sometimes you're like, you get feedback that's like, oh, wow, how did we miss that? That's obvious. Or some of it's nuanced, and we've learned some amazing things over the years, and things have shifted, things have changed. It used to be like battle fatigue issues, you know, a lot of things dealing with combat trauma. Now that shifted to transition, and we're finding the greatest challenges that we're facing now are guys that are leaving the military, especially those who have been in for, you know, 15, 20 plus years, getting back and going back to, you know, what you've got right there on your shirt. I don't think I have a mission. What is my next mission? And so we have a series of things that we try to help them find that perspective and walk alongside these guys. And I think that what really makes it work is the fact that we've all been there, done that. And so how do we create this thing, Warriors Helping Warriors, to make sure those invisible wounds don't get deeper, but they find healing.
Well, again, I think you can put them on a shelf and just put them there. Maybe, hopefully, don't raise their ugly head here or don't fall off the shelf or something like that. But they're always going to be there. You just got to learn how to deal with them. And that's what I think I did personally. I just, and nobody ever helped me, which is sort of crazy. I just learned how to deal with the issues. And luckily I had people around me that when I did do something wrong or when I did step out of line, they was nice enough to sort of push me back in line. You know, I don't know if I guess maybe I've told you, I had about 36 years in the service. I spent a long time in the Army. They couldn't get rid of me. I would have stayed a lot longer. I'm probably more likely to trust a fellow veteran. And we've shared experience and values. So if I were to contact the Warrior's Journey looking for help, what are the odds that I would end up talking to a veteran? Because I'd feel more comfortable talking to a veteran. I mean, is that?
Yeah, 100%.
That's your go at that station.
Yeah. So let me just say this too. It's not just a veteran. So Jack, you're retired Sergeant Major. Yeah. You know, so you are a very highly qualified, gifted, you know, excelled in your area of rank and in your leadership skills, all of that. So here's what we do. We have over 200 warrior connectors, and we have divisional, we haven't broke out in divisions. So we have Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard, even Space Force, believe it or not. And we have, so what'll happen is you'll contact us. And so the first thing we do is, okay, Jack, Sergeant Major, Army, served in this era. And we go through our list and goes, hey, here are three individuals, all sergeant majors, all Army, served in similar areas. And so we try to not only get you obviously attached to a veteran, but also a veteran who would be of like experience, because that even opens up that trust more. And here's our goal. Our number one goal is, how do we create an environment where you feel super comfortable to be vulnerable, to basically just say, hey, okay, buddy, you know, and that vulnerability comes, and this is what we train our connectors. They're not counselors. They're not mental health workers. They are relational advocates that come alongside as partners. And their one goal is to, as much as they are vulnerable, they will constitute a vulnerability that will help you to begin that process. And we want to get to the heart of it. What's going on there? You know, and you're right. Most people don't want to talk about that. They don't want to admit it. They almost see it as a sign of weakness or demeaning it, but it's not. Just real quick story. I was working with Marines out in a third LAR out in 29 Palms, and they were dealing with this whole issue of vulnerability. And I said, hey, let me just make a suggestion. I truly believe of what I know of the Marine Corps, and you know, and they're going to laugh. You know, I said, but really working with my nephew and other Marines, and I love our Marines. We train with Marines. You know, even in the Air Force, all their MPs train with us. I said, here's what I've learned: that I truly believe that vulnerability is the one core ethos for the warrior who's a Marine. And they're looking at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, just make sure we're defining vulnerability in the correct manner. You see vulnerability as what? And they're raising their hand and go, well, you know, we see it as like weakness. Like it's fluffy, flowery, my feelings and, you know, being vulnerable. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, let me try to redefine this. You guys are taking a beach, man. You're storming the beach. You're in the battle. And you know, you've got groups of Marines all along this front, and you're undercover, you know, or you've got cover and you're taking fire and you're returning fire, you're engaged. And then you see a group of guys out on the beach, they have no cover. They're taking a beating. What do you do? Well, we run to help them.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I said, in fact, you'd be willing to give your life to make sure that your battle buddy didn't lose his. 100%, you know, 100%, you know. And I said, well, what do? You leave cover and you become, and ding, 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 vulnerable. You make yourself vulnerable to save the life of your friend. Yeah. I said, guys, so let me try to just constitute this. That's an ethos that should be heralded. That's heroic. That's part of our duty and honor of being a Marine. I mean, that's when I think of Marines, I think, man, you guys are willing to give your life. And so for me, when we look at that whole concept, when guys come home and the battle is raging here, why would we abandon our brothers? Why not? Why would we become vulnerable in that sense and open our lives to them so that they can find the cover and the focus they need? And it was like, man, listen, I'm not kidding you. Here I'm watching a battalion commander, tears coming down his face going, that is so right on, man. That is awesome. We got to change the way we do things. Because they had 8 suicides like in 14 months in that particular battalion. And it changed things around because they weren't helping each other when they got home. It's like the battle isn't just on the field. It's we're human beings and we're those are their greatest asset, is the human beings that are in here. And so we teach those concepts to help them rethink and get their perspectives correctly, and then offer the support necessary when needed.
You said so much, but I'm going to try to get a couple. One is, they got to trust you.
Yeah, right.
Trust you. If they trust you, you can do anything. The second thing is, when you're in the field, doing something, maneuvering, do whatever, you're all right together. But when you come back and you separate and you go back to your house, you go back to your family, you go back to, you know, wherever you're at, that's where the problems occur, I think, right there. And it makes it really hard. And there's one other thing I was going to say, but now I forgot. I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know, on that note, real quick, I will tell you, that's what we train our connectors. We say, look, there's four things, you know, camaraderie, the whole idea of community, right? You get that in spades in the military, because you're attached to a unit, you're part of something that's bigger than yourself, you become a family, especially if you're intense, you know, you become that band of brothers. And it's hard, you can't even explain it. It's a phenomenon that is powerful. In fact, some of the guys that I fought alongside, that I was with, I mean, they are so dear to me, and they always will be. It's like you that will never change. I said, the second thing is, there's a love that takes place, right? And love's not a bad word. I mean, the fact that you're willing to give your life, you know, so that someone doesn't have to lose theirs, that's a special part of that too. And third, you're part of a mission. You're part of something that, again, is so unique and so purposeful. And then I think finally, you're a valued part of that mission. You bring fruitfulness to that because you're contributing something. So those are the four things that I think are central to our lives. And again, you guys know this because you focus on the idea of next mission. You know, finding that next purpose is so important. So we say, look, we got to help guys find that. Just talk about those things, because we believe that any crisis that a person is facing is rooted in those four basic issues of the heart, and the heart and mind of who we are, what we need. And that includes physical, emotional, spiritual, you know, social. I mean, we cover the gamut, and we explore all those areas to help them find what they need.
Yeah, you know, I love talking to you because you're so motivated about, you know, helping people, and you're enthusiastic about, you know, what you're doing. And, you know, so God bless you. And if I can ever help you in any way, please let me know. I'd love to do it.
I'll be calling you, Jack.
Well, I put my foot in my mouth before. No. Yeah. Are there some cases you might refer to, you know, another clinician or another veteran service organization instead of handling yourself? I'm sure there's a lot of them, because, you know, you can't have all the answers to everything. So can you give me some examples of that? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So all the time. So, you know, whatever that person might need, like yesterday, we had a guy who was dealing with some alcohol, you know, trouble. He was really, so we have a whole addiction program with another organization, and we actually helped them. What we did, so we helped fill out that application. We called those individuals that we work with and partner with and said, hey, we've got a really great candidate here. So we go with them. We don't just say, oh, there it is, go do it yourself. We do it with them. And then when they go through the program, which is usually, it could be anywhere from a month to 3 months, depending on, you know, or sometimes it's even an outpatient kind of thing. But whatever that is, you know, with their permission, we stay with them. And when they're done with the program, we say, okay, hey, we're not done. We're not out yet. You know, what's the next thing? What would you like to explore next? We're here for you. And usually they walk away going, man, that was amazing. That was awesome. What else you got? We got lots of other stuff, lots of other programs, lots of other partners, you know, service dogs, VA benefits. We have a deep partnership with DAV. And so we have a kind of an inside track to making sure that they get the benefits that they need when they get on. So all those things are they all culminate to avoiding, going back to your point, Jack, avoiding the crisis. How do we help them avoid something, to find really a sense of peace, hope, moving forward, and you know, just a fervency for that. And you know, when I left the military, I didn't really leave the military active, because I've been serving military guys ever since. I love the community, and I feel like it's important that because of the unique challenges that military people face, and their willingness to raise their right hand, take an oath, being willing to give their life, we owe it to them to make sure that they have everything they need to thrive. And I think they become the best of our nation. It was George Washington that said that, and you may know this already, but he said that the character of a nation will always be measured by how it cares for its veterans.
Absolutely. And so true.
And I think that's what makes us so distinctive, you know, in the world.
Yeah. I know you've been working with the Cohen Veterans Network and are, you know, also part, just like us, you're part of the Face to Fight Coalition. Mm-hmm. How important are those partnerships with you for your mission? I'm sure they're really important. Yeah.
It's so critical, because, you know, we'd love to be able to say we can offer everything. Well, no organization can offer everything, you know? And so we've said, what can we offer, and what should we be focusing on where there's a gap? And so we kind of see ourselves And I feel like I envision this. So I think of all these amazing organizations out there as bricks. You know, they make up a huge strengthening wall, right? And what we did 10 years ago is we said, you know, but there's a few gaps. How do we tie these together? And so we wanted to become the mortar in the bricks. How do we tie them together and piece them together? And that's exactly what we feel like has happened. And that's how our relationship with the Cohen Clinics began, with the Endeavors Foundation. And now we just opened up our newest, literally cut the ribbon on our newest resiliency center in El Paso at the Endeavors Health and Wellness Center there with the Cohen Clinic right next door. We're going to have a resiliency center right there. In fact, in the next 3 to 4 years, our goal is to, wherever there's a Cohen Clinic, they've said, we want a military resiliency center run by the Warrior's Journey. So that's our next mission. And we're really excited about that.
How many centers do you have now?
Right now we have 5. Yeah. And now we have the opportunity to add 20 more, you know, over the next 5 to 6 years. And so we're super excited. And the Endeavors Foundation and our other sponsors are getting really motivated by this, because we see our greatest numbers to include suicide intervention with one-on-one engagements that happen through our cafe and coffee shop kind of engagements. And then we have workshops that we do daily. And it's just a powerful thing to create an environment, again, where whether you're a veteran or an active duty member or a family member, giving them this space where they feel dignified, accepted. Like you said, when there's trust, deep trust, or there's a sense of camaraderie and unity and family that many times, you know, these guys don't have when they either get out or they come home or whatever that may look like. So we're just making sure that they have what they need, and we have to do it. Going back to your question, we've got to do it through strategic partnerships. Locking arms together just is a force multiplier. Why wouldn't we do that? That just makes sense.
Well, you got me so motivated now. I may just get on my bike and ride down there. No.
We'd love that. We'd love that.
Hey, I want to ask you about spiritual side of what you're doing, but yeah, but we absolutely need to take a one more break. So hold, I know you're not going anywhere. Stay right there. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Now here's a word from one more of the organizations to help make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Kevin Weaver, co-founder and president and CEO of The Warrior's Journey. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Kevin, you were a pastor for 32 years. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Does the Warrior's Journey encourage spirituality? I mean, kind of say that, mm-hmm, as a part, mm-hmm, of your healing process?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I will tell you that we see it as a core, a really deep anchored core value. And I know we all come from different backgrounds and different, even sometimes different faith perspectives, you know, which we're totally fine with that. I think most of us kind of lean on that we are distinctively Christian, you know, so kind of our founding fathers in America, you know, so we all come from that kind of similar background. People have asked, well, what if you get a, you know, someone who's Muslim, or we get someone who is Jewish or whatever, well, are you going to help? Well, of course we're going to help them. We are a veteran service organization. We help veterans regardless. We aren't concerned about their faith. However, what we want to do is we also want to do that through our expression and our own experience. We do it out of love, you know, our love for God, love for country, and we believe in that. That's what we feel it gives, that true genuine compassion for individuals, and that's where it's birthed from. So what we do, Sergeant Major, is we just, you know, so you know this, the resiliency pillars of the Army, you know, they're physical, emotional, social, psychological, spiritual, the five pillars, right? So we play on all of those. So we offer services in every single one of those. And what we do is we try to earn the right to talk to them about spirituality. We don't lead with it. We don't necessarily, you know, we're not churchy. However, but we really do believe that to find really complete wholeness and healing, that's a resiliency area that's really important. And hey, have you thought about discovering that? And we just kind of coach them along to help them discover what they feel what feels most comfortable, what feels best. And then we engage with that, and we share the benefits of what it means to really find yourself seated in a faith journey. Faith makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I got to tell you a couple of stories. One is that everybody that goes to war gets closer to God.
You bet.
And I prayed so many times when I was in war in Vietnam years ago. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you another story here that when I went into Vietnam, like I said, years ago, they give you these little pocket Bibles. And I got to be honest with you, I never really opened it up. But I took it and I put it in a 50 caliber box on the side of the tank. And then I hadn't been there very long. And I opened that box up. And I looked at the Bible and I don't know why I opened the Bible up and I was sort of thumbing through. Anyway, on the front page, there was a blood stain on the book, on the Bible there. And so I thought that was a little odd, really, to tell you the truth. So I put it back in and I sort of thought it was my lucky Bible, really, to tell you. So I kept it with me for all the rest of the time I was in Vietnam. And I got alerted early to go back home. I was a body escort coming out of Vietnam. So they just called and they alert you and say, get your gear and you know, throw it under the helicopter and fly back in. And so you go and I open up the 50 caliber box and I'm getting all my stuff out. And the only thing that was missing was that Bible.
Hmm.
And the Bible just, I don't know whatever happened to it. It was really sort of strange. But again, it was my lucky charm when I was there. And anybody that goes to war, I don't care who you are, says a prayer. And I prayed a whole bunch of my life about God, if you're helping me, keep helping me. And I believe he's looking down on me. He's been helping me for a long time. He keeps helping me, that's for sure. If someone thinks they need help or someone wants to, you know, needs the love you made help, you know, help our warriors with, how did they get in contact with you?
Yeah, so there's several different ways to onboard with us. You can do it through a text message. You can call our office, but probably the easiest way is through our website. And it's very simple, TWJ for The Warrior's Journey, TWJ.org, very simple. And right there on the homepage and every other page that you will ever click on, you'll see that red banner that says, let's talk. And so hit that banner and it takes you about 20 seconds to, you know, all we just need to know is your name and, you know, what branch did you serve in? What was your rank? And, you know, shoot that off to us and then we'll start a conversation with you. And we do that. We usually respond within just a few minutes, you know. We get those immediately and our crew will be there. Hey, what do you got going? How can we help you? How can we assist? And it's not just for the active duty folks, it's for and veterans, but it's also for family members and for those who are affected by these things. And so I would say probably 30% of what we do is with military dependents and families and the folks that have to deal with the fallout of some of these other challenges, you know, that are part of that. So we offer services for them too. So yeah, please reach out to us. We'd be happy and honored to do our very best to just come alongside. And there's no agenda other than how do we help? And we do it at no cost. We will never charge you a penny for any of our services or the services of our partners. Mm-hmm. So we always find ways to make sure that that's provided for.
Well, I think the first step is knowing that you got a problem, who to reach out to. And a lot of people are just sort of hesitant to do that. Hey, first of all, this has been a great discussion. And
thanks.
And I just can't thank you enough for what you're doing. You're making a big difference in the lives of a lot of people. There's no question in my mind about that. Because, like I said, I can see you're a real aggressive guy and you're going to get things done. And I love people like you, that's for sure. Any final thoughts, anything you want to add the audience with, or maybe something we missed, anything you want to add to it?
Well, maybe just accentuating what you've already said, Jack, is that, yeah, hey, listen, if you're listening or watching this, you're not alone. And if you come to a place where you think, what's the point? There is a point. And the point is not checking out. You know, there's more to life than just quitting. I promise you, if you're still breathing, there's still a purpose for you on this planet. You know, there's something that God wants to do through you, you know, and you got people who are relying on you. And, you know, and we just would love to come alongside and make sure that we could do everything we can to offer the kind of support. And we need it. We all need it. We all need that support. It's not limited. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you ineffective or a failure. It makes you human. We're human beings that need other human beings to engage. And so whether it's us, you know, helping you to navigate all the possibilities out there, because we do, we feel like we've got a good partner network. You know, maybe we're not going to do anything for you directly. Maybe our best service to you is helping you find what you need. And it's not something that we do. Our service to you is just helping you find that place. Or maybe there's something we can do through our own programs in-house, whatever that looks like. We are happy to do it. And again, honored to do it, and you're worth it. So hopefully, if there are those of you who are listening, please know you're valued. You're loved by people, whether you feel it or not. Please don't hesitate. Please reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you.
Well, God bless you again. Say hi to your sons for me and your family and all that stuff. And thanks for coming on the show.
We will. Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks again to Kevin Weaver for being with us. I'm Jack Tilley, 12-star Medal of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Kevin for joining us today. And I, you know, he said it all. He's so aggressive and so talented and believes in our service members and the things they're doing. And he loves the military. But all of us struggle. You, me, and everybody else. And all of us is going to reach out to God at one point in your life. Just like I said a minute ago, I did in war. I used to say prayers all the time. God, you just get me out of here. But I want you to let you know something. You're not alone. You're not by yourself. Don't think you're alone. Don't worry about what people think about you or what they think you're doing or what you think you're doing. And if you got something on your chest, talk about it. That's therapy for you. If you're in a dark place, get out of there. Go talk to somebody. Don't sit down and think that you can't get anything accomplished. In the military, we're all part of a family, and we're going to take care of each other. So again, I can't say it enough. You're not alone. We believe you, we love you, and God loves you, to tell you the truth. Thanks again to New Mind Studios, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.